Bible Study, Chapter 7. Sorrow According to God's Will. Beloved, let us unite within the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts, to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4 from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this word does not simply speak of moral holiness, but shows the holy life that appears upon the gospel of salvation that has already been accomplished, and the relationship of the spiritual community formed within the gospel. First, Paul says, "Therefore, having these promises," this promise is the promise that God dwells among the saints and becomes their God, and the saints become God's people and children. From the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this promise was accomplished through the history of salvation, where Jesus Christ took on the sins of the world by being baptized by John and received the judgment of those sins on the cross. When a person who was a sinner accepts the ministry of Jesus Christ by faith, they become reconciled with God and become a people belonging to God. Therefore, a saint is not simply a religious person, but one who has been saved from all sins and has become a being in whom God's Holy Spirit can dwell. To the person who has this gospel of salvation, Paul tells them to perfect holiness. Here, holiness is not a condition for obtaining salvation, but a command for a person who has already received the removal of sins to keep their faith. A person who has received the elimination of sins by the gospel of the water and the Spirit is a person who has already become a righteous person, who received the blotting out of sins before God. However, the life of those who have become righteous by believing in God's righteousness is one where they naturally escape from the filthy things of the flesh and spirit and live offering themselves for the propagation of God's gospel. This is not eliminating sin by human effort, but a life of righteousness lived by faith, because they have received the salvation that has already been accomplished. Also, this word shows the relationship between the apostle who preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit and the saints. Paul tells the saints to open your hearts to us. This does not speak of a simple human relationship, but a word to keep by faith the spiritual relationship, connected centering on the gospel. The apostle who preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and the saints who have accepted that gospel, are not just in a simple relationship of teacher and disciple, but are the same community of faith that propagates the gospel of the water and the Spirit. So Paul says toward the saints that it is a relationship where he wants to die together and live together. This expression has a very deep meaning, because the apostle who preaches the gospel and the saint who believes the gospel dwell within the same grace of salvation, they are people with the same purpose, and also in a relationship like one body with each other in Christ. Those who have received the removal of sins within the gospel of the water and the Spirit all come to form the church, which is the body of Christ. Paul also says that he has done injustice to no one, harmed no one, and deceived and taken from no one. This shows that the ministry of preaching the gospel is not for human profit or power, but that they are purely co-workers for the propagation of the gospel. The minister who preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a person who lives for their own glory, but one family of faith who goes the same path, working for and preaching together the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Paul says that even in the midst of many tribulations, he overflows with comfort and joy when he thinks of the saints. The path of preaching the gospel is a path with many hardships, but seeing people receiving the elimination of sins through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and living a life for the propagation of the same gospel, becomes the greatest joy and comfort to the minister. Ultimately, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4 from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this word shows two important truths. First, a person who believes the gospel of salvation accomplished through the baptism and the cross of Jesus Christ has already become a child of God, and thus is one who has come to live the life of an evangelist like the apostle. Second, the apostle who preaches this gospel and the saints who believe that gospel have come to form a community connected to each other with love within the same faith. Therefore, God's church is not a simple religious organization, but as a community of those who believe the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it has become a community that lives together as God's people. Within that community, the saints open their hearts to each other, unite with the love of faith, and come to live for the propagation of the gospel that pleases God. Sorrow, according to God's will, produces repentance and gives joy. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 16. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 16 from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this word is not simply content dealing with human emotions or internal conflicts of the church, but a word that shows how a person's heart realizes and repents before the truth of the gospel, and how the community is ultimately restored, At the center is that sorrow according to God's will accomplished true repentance within the gospel, and the work of rebuilding the church occurred. First, Paul speaks of his own situation when he arrived in Macedonia. He suffered tribulation on every side and was in a very difficult state both physically and mentally. Outside there were conflicts, and inside there were fears. This shows the realistic life of an apostle who preaches the gospel. However, God, as the God who comforts the lowly, comforted Paul by sending Titus. The news Titus delivered to Paul was not simple news, but the news that the Corinthian church had accepted the exhortation of the gospel, and their hearts were changed. The saints longed for Paul, mourned, and showed zeal for him. Hearing this news, Paul gains great joy. This shows the fact that people's hearts are changed before the truth of the gospel. Paul speaks of the fact that the letter he sent made the saints of the Corinthian church sorrowful. However, he says he does not regret it now, because that sorrow did not end as simple sadness, but led to repentance. Here, Paul explains a very important spiritual principle. He says that sorrow according to God's will produces repentance and makes one unite with the Lord. From the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, sorrow according to God's will is a heart that realizes one's own faults before the God of truth. So Paul says that sorrow according to God's will produces repentance leading to salvation that has nothing to be regretted. The repentance spoken of here does not simply mean words acknowledging a fault, but means the direction of the heart changing before the gospel. A person laying down their own righteousness or thoughts and accepting God's truth of salvation is true repentance. Conversely, the sorrow of the world is merely sadness felt because of the result of sin. The sorrow of the world may grieve over one's situation or regret a failure, but it cannot make one return to God. So Paul says that the sorrow of the world ultimately produces death. The sorrow experienced by the saints of the Corinthian church was sorrow according to God's will. That sorrow brought various changes to their hearts. They came to have an earnest heart toward God, considered sin with indignation, and longing and zeal toward Paul also appeared. Also, they showed a firm attitude to correct the wrongdoings. These changes were them manifesting their own cleanness before the gospel. Through this incident, great comfort and joy arose within the church. Titus gained rest in his heart, seeing the change and obedience of the saints of the Corinthian church, and Paul, hearing that news, also gained great joy. What initially started as conflict and sorrow ultimately led to repentance and restoration within the gospel. From the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the restoration of the church is not accomplished simply by human reconciliation. It is a work that is accomplished when the truth of the gospel shines upon a person's heart, and that heart is lowered before God. When the gospel makes a person realize their wrong heart and repent, the church becomes one again, and the community is restored. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 16 shows an important fact. Sorrow according to God's will is not a sorrow that destroys a person, but a sorrow that turns the heart back before the gospel to accomplish salvation and restoration. And through that repentance, the church comes to be built again as a community overflowing with love, joy, and comfort. Ultimately, the gospel is not a simple doctrine, but God's power that changes a person's heart and rebuilds the community. When the gospel of the water and the Spirit enters a person's heart, it makes them realize sin, makes them repent, ultimately makes them receive salvation, and bears the fruit of comfort and joy within the church.